This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
In this episode, we're diving into the adventurous lives of Hudson and Emily, the dynamic duo on a mission to visit every country in the world. From starting with an old RV and traveling across all 50 states to swimming with humpback whales in French Polynesia, their journey is nothing short of extraordinary. Hear about their unforgettable encounters and the unexpected kindness of strangers they experienced firsthand. Hudson and Emily share their philosophy of living with intention, the importance of dreaming big, planning diligently, and taking bold steps to make it all happen. Whether you're an avid traveler or someone looking to break out of your routine, their stories will inspire you to see the world with fresh eyes and embrace every moment. Don't miss this episode filled with laughter, inspiration, and a reminder to dream it, plan it, and do it. Listen in as Hudson and Emily take you on a journey around the world like you've never experienced before.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch, and I've got a special treat for you all today, this week. We're actually just going to jump right into this one, and I've got to introduce Emily and Hudson, and that's actually their Instagram handle is Hudson and Emily. And so Emily and Hudson, they were highlighted back in episode 21, if you remember that one with Stephen of the Lover's Passport, and they are working to be one of the youngest couples, if not the youngest couples, to visit every country in the world. And they've taken a break as they're at 180 right now, only a few left to go, and they took a break to be here on this podcast. So they made time for you guys. I'm super excited. Hudson, Emily, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. We are so honored to be on.
Yeah, we love your podcast and how you empower people to travel more. So we're super grateful to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I am super excited to have you guys on the show today. And I mean, I want to get into it all, right? I want to just learn the whole story, but let's just start with the background. So tell us a little bit about yourselves. We see that you're traveling throughout the world. I mean, people, you have to look at their content. I mean, their videos are impeccable. I mean, you're dancing with bands in Africa, like beating drums, and the police with, like, you know, you're in the, not desert, but like out there, and they have like AKs on their back. You're just like hanging out and vibing with them. Like, this is so, so cool. So how did this start? Tell us your background. Do you guys travel professionally? Like, what's the deal? What's the story?
So basically, to boil down how this whole thing started is I had a quote that when we were in freshman year of college, I came up with that was, think of the stories you want to tell when you're 75, then go out and live them. And so we were thinking of what's one story that we would want to tell someday. We knew it had to do with travel, but 3 years into our marriage, it was a snowy Thursday, and we get this call, and I thought it was going to be my parents telling us that we're going on a ski trip and where we're headed for that ski trip. And instead, it was my mom, and I'll always remember she was in tears. My dad had passed away from a heart attack over the night. And so we had no idea that he was in bad health or anything like that. And it was just a reminder to us to make the most of every single day. So we decided to change my quote. Instead of think of the stories you want to tell when you're 75, my dad was 55. He didn't even have the chance to live those extra 20 years. And so that made us want to be more intentional with the time that we have now. So the craziest thing we could think of at the time was get an old RV, travel to the 50 states, and we fell in love with travel ever since.
That is super cool because you're one of the few people that I hear about talking about like living with intention. And I think that's really, really important for all of us to do and think about as far as like, how do we live? What's the life we live? And, you know, I love talking about like spending life living. In fact, I actually gave a speech at a conference on the financial planning world. And I kind of wrapped it up saying, cause I talk about my travel at the end, cause you know, we're not talking about all the boring financial planning stuff right now, but it was a financial planning talk at the end. I wrapped it up with travel and living life, and said at the end of my tombstone, I wanted, hey, you know, he lived with intention, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's super cool that you guys have that same motto. And so impactful story. I'm sorry to hear about your father. I imagine that, you know, that's, you know, of course, very surprising to have happen. And so that started with the you said an RV, so you got an RV. I saw one of the recent videos on Instagram. I think it was you, Emily, like dancing on top of this RV, like in the a national park or something like that. So how was that experience, right? So I mean, we went from all 50 states to global travel. So let's start first with the 50 states. How did the living in the RV side go? Was that eye opening for you? Did you naturally fall right into it? I mean, I'm assuming there's a lot of lessons learned. Like how would that part of the experience go?
When our neighbor heard about our plan, they said, well, this will be a very cheap form of marriage counseling for you. So it was a quick way to learn how to apologize quickly when we got in arguments being together 24/7 in a small space.
So starting out in an RV, we had no idea RV life or anything. We watched a lot of YouTube videos, but just an example of the first time we filled it with water, all of our pipes burst because they froze. The first time we got into a campground, we backed over a tiny little stop sign, broke that. We ran our batteries down the first night. We had little motorcycles. We didn't know. We decided to try to learn how to really actually drive them when we were in Miami. Not a good idea. So we jumped right in. We thought we had a lot of planning, but there's always more you can learn.
Yeah, so we had planned and saved for like 4 years for this. But I think with travel, as soon as you feel like you're getting the hang of it, you realize you never will. So that was a very humbling beginning. But we loved traveling. And I feel like the more that we traveled, even within the US, we just were like, we just want to see more of the world. And so after we finished with the RV trip, we decided to move to Mexico because we just wanted warm weather, honestly. But through that, we fell in love with like international cultures and people, and just decided without any sort of goal of seeing a certain number of countries, just to travel more internationally. And that kind of extended and extended and extended to the point that when we hit 100 countries, we're like, well, I guess now we could either settle down or maybe try to see every country. And that's kind of how the goal came about.
Awesome. So let's take a quick step back. So at this point, is travel and content creation your profession? Or what, if it is, what were you doing before when you made the leap to start the RV life and then now the global travel life?
Yes. So now it is full-time content creation.
But at that point, it wasn't. So when we were planning for our RV trip, I worked in marketing for an agency, and he worked for the University of Maryland while he was getting his MBA. And so that really is what was able to fund our travels, was that time where we were very intentionally saving for the RV trip. And thankfully, he budgeted a lot higher than we ended up needing, because we stayed in mostly like Walmart parking lots overnight for free. And we've continued with like the budget traveling. So thankfully that savings continued to fund a lot of our international travels. As we then continued to work online, we have done everything from teaching English to FBA, selling things on Amazon, to also the content creation part of it.
Awesome. So how long, do you remember how long roughly was the leap before you guys said, okay, we've got these, you know, consistent, stable incomes, we're going to make the jump to doing content creation?
It's been a process like for a very long time. I actually started a blog in 2012. So I can't even do the math on that. It's 12 years ago.
Wow, okay. Got it.
Like, yeah, just kind of like sharing more like lifestyle things, but even like working with some brands then. And like, even now we don't make a whole lot of money on content creation, but we just really love sharing what we're learning, whether it was like marriage and newlywed life back then to now like the different cultures that we meet. And so I would say we're probably not the best example of like a quick growth thing, but a better example of like, if you have a goal, just start and start small. And you might have no idea what you're doing because we didn't, but we're still like learning and growing as we go.
Got it. Got it. Well, I appreciate the background, guys. Let's get into what everyone's going to want to hear about and talk about the countries, the places, the trips. So would love to hear what's been, I don't even know how easily this would be to just quantify because you've been to so many places, but what have been some of the most memorable, let's just start countries, some of the most memorable countries, then I'd love to go and to even drill down to stays, places, however you guys have done it. What's been the most memorable?
So right now, what we're sharing online, and so we're reliving, is when we were in South Sudan. That was one of the most memorable because we camped with the Mandari tribe. They're also known as the cow tribe because they live in cattle camps. So our cattle camp had over 2,000 cattle. They are nomadic, so they travel with their cattle. And one of the biggest experiences that was, we'll forever remember, is because they don't have water easily accessible, they will shower in cow urine. So there's always a cow that has to go. And so there's always a shower available. So while we were there, when in Rome, Em jumped right in. They said, do you want to do it? And she was like, sure.
Why not?
And the guy,
because it like dyes their hair orange. So they get like kind of like highlights in their hair. And it was an
experience.
It wasn't too bad.
Trying to convince myself it was actually refreshing. Until it got into my eyes and mouth.
Oh, no. Okay. Got it. Well, I mean, that's an experience, though. I mean, that's a story, right? I mean, that's a legitimate story. Okay. So, not a lot of running water. So we bathed in cow urine. That's an experience. So how was the rest of the, so you said you were camping with them. So were you, was it in like a yurt or more of a teepee, or did you guys have your own camping gear? Like how did you find yourself really living amongst them, and how long was that for?
So they sleep on either like the ground or on like a wooden bench. We went with a tour company that like set up a tent for us. So there wasn't like water nearby, but we at least had a tent to sleep in. But yeah, we love just like connecting with people and learning about their culture. And that's not something that like necessarily we like had when we began traveling, but mm-hmm. I think through travel and through being inspired by the kindness of people all around the world, it's made like really changed our hearts to like fall in love with people and like want to learn more about them.
Got it. That's super cool. So you mentioned a tour company. I was really curious, these experiences that you're having. I didn't know, is it a company that's kind of helping connect you with these local groups and these different places you're going? Or do you reach out? I was very curious, like, how do you get to being amongst the police force in South Sudan, right? And hanging out with them? I'm very curious. How would someone go about doing something similar? Or did you really kind of curate your own, your own path?
So I would say probably about 90-95% of the countries that we go to, we just travel on our own. There are so many amazing resources through fellow travelers that of people who have done it before, so we can see their experiences. But then if it is a more dangerous or unstable at the time country, then we go with a tour company or like what people call like fixers to be able to arrange things just to make sure that we aren't going into areas that we otherwise shouldn't be.
And also to communicate with like people, they like some of the tribes speak a language that isn't on Google Translate. And so that's really helpful to use Google Translate when we're in another country. But for certain places, you definitely need to have somebody to help you communicate.
But most of the places, like West Africa, was actually a really fun, it was a challenging but a fun experience. So we did road tripping pretty much all of West Africa through shared taxis and buses. And the coolest thing about that is you really get to meet so many people because they're just going about their daily life and you all cram into like a 7-passenger van, but fit 15 people. So you're like this for like 7-8 hours together. And the coolest thing is that people go so far out of their way to help you, to look out for you. So I think a lot of times it's the negative experiences that get talked about and highlighted. But 9 times out of 10, definitely we have our negative experiences as well. But 9 times out of 10, it's been people who have been coming around us and helping us make those experiences so memorable.
So inspiring, people's kindness to random strangers.
That's super awesome. So let me ask you this. So what countries would you say surprised you of that you've been to so far, right? What countries surprised you the most? And let's go both positive and negative. So the one that you were super excited about and really let you down. And then on the other hand, you were just like, okay, we got to check this one off the list. And it really just blew your mind.
One that surprised me in a good way was like a lot of Middle East and Central Asia. I feel like there were just continual times that people would invite us in. Like a specific example is in Afghanistan, we were in this remote area and I had to use the bathroom. And so our guide was like, what if we just stop here and ask this house? And like, okay. So they didn't seem like they had much, but not only did they say like, of course you can use our toilet, but they invited us for dinner. They were like, stay the night. And like, we didn't have the opportunity to, but like just the fact that complete strangers just knock on the door and it's like, you're fully welcome, just inspired us so much. And that was just one small story. We have like countless stories of
Central Asia and Middle Eastern hospitality is definitely on another level.
Yeah.
I so believe that. I know, so not this past New Year's, but the New Year's before, we stayed 3 weeks in the Middle East, started in Qatar, did Dubai, which, you know, big city, but then we also did Oman, and Oman blew our mind.
Love Oman, yes.
It was so incredible. Like, the people were just, like, genuinely proud that you chose to visit their country, we were telling people we were going to the Middle East, and of course, everyone was just like, oh my God, no, you should cancel your trip. Like, no, don't do it, and had the time of our lives. So I just imagine, I mean, I think if you were to tell someone, oh yeah, we're going to Afghanistan, right? They're immediately just thinking you're going to be in Baghdad and it's crazy, but you guys are getting to see a whole other side of the world that very few people have gotten to see, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I love Oman. That's one of our favorite countries. But yeah, I do feel like seemingly some of the more difficult places to visit have been the ones that have inspired us the most. And it's normally the local people that, like, some of the stories we've heard, we don't even want to believe that they're real just because our mind can't comprehend that level of, like, horrific things that they've experienced. And yet their, like, joy and the way they're so welcoming to strangers is just unimaginable. So I feel like we've learned a lot and continue to learn a lot about the people that we hope to be.
Now we got to answer the other side of the question.
Yeah, others. I think she set you up, Hudson. She's leaving you for the downside.
So I feel so bad. I don't even want to mention the country because it has nothing to do with the country. And you might know what I'm going to say. It has to do with our experience. But we actually love and would highly recommend everyone to go to Belgium. But when we were in the amazing food too.
Yes,
if you like
so good.
Drinks, love food, it. Amazing. Unfortunately, we're budget travelers always looking for the like cheapest housing. And I think we flew a little too close to the sun here. Because instantly we knew going into it, it was not the cleanest area. Turns out we got really bad bed bugs. Never like bed bugs at all. We had to wash everything, still itching, paying for it. It felt like almost a week later. So nothing to do with the country, but a really good reminder to us that we like budget travel, but bed bugs actually cost a little bit more.
Got it. Okay, so go cheap, or budget, but not too cheap. So
not bed bug budget. Yeah,
yeah.
Break a bed first.
Got it. Okay. So when you are traveling, maybe not Africa, but more like a Europe, are you guys staying in hostels? Are you staying in hotels? Like how do you do your budget travel? Are you doing is Airbnb, do you make friends, or is there I know there's different couch surfing, sites and stuff like that. So how do you go about doing it, especially when you're in a more densely populated country versus in Afghanistan?
Yeah, all of the above. Booking.com is our favorite resource. So normally it's a hostel or a cheap motel from that. Also Airbnb. And we have done some couch surfing. In Switzerland, for example, we couch surfed the whole way through, and this one couple not only hosted us, but insisted on making dinner for us, which is not how it should work, but it was the most delicious dinner I've ever had in my life.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts. Get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. So we only have a few countries left in the world. Which are the ones that are most exciting? And is it just, have you been kind of building up to a grand finale here? Or is it more so just the logistics of planning or the expense? Or has it just kind of been that it's worked out how it's worked out?
So we are really super thankful that this past year, most of the most difficult logistics and also safety-wise countries we have checked off and been able to experience. So now we have 17 countries left. 11 of them are Pacific Islands. And then a country I'm really excited that I don't know how we haven't been to yet is China. We still have to visit there. And so really, really excited. But the coolest thing is we haven't yet been to the Bahamas. It's the only country
really?
In North America we haven't been to. So
we're saving it because ideally it would be amazing to save a fun one for last.
Got it. Okay. I was like, man, that's such a quintessential kind of easier country to get. Yeah, super easy, but that makes sense. Have a nice martini or mojito on the beach there as you clink to checking off 197 countries.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, 197. So awesome. So, and am I correct in saying that your goal is to be the youngest couple to do this? Is that a plan, or is it just like, hey, if it happens, it happens?
So our plan was never it just kind of literally just happened. Our plan was just travel more. And then when we got to 100 countries, we were looking at the list and it was around 115, 120 that we made our decision. So we're not going for any records, and I don't think we would be the youngest couple. Our goal is just to be able to experience more of the world. And through traveling, I think the travel community is incredible. We've met so many amazing fellow travelers.
That's awesome. So do you have any idea? So after 197, what's next?
We're excited to have a family. We've been married for 12 years and really looking forward to that. So
we joke that it would be nice. Our goal is to have a closet. Because for the past 8 years, we haven't really had a set location.
Got it. Okay. I think it's allowed for you guys to say you've settled down after you visited every country in the world. I think that that's an ample amount of time and experience to say that. So
I do hope Hud's quote, think of the stories you want to tell someday, then go out and live them. But that will continue and something that we can share with our kids. And that's like, yeah, what we encourage everyone to do is, like, it doesn't have to be traveling to every country, it doesn't have to be travel at all, but just, like, what are those stories that you hope to tell someday? And then just taking, like, the small steps towards doing like, the first step.
Got it. Perfect. Well, let's actually get a little bit into the shift into the content creation side. So, I mean, your content's amazing, right? You're like, it's beautiful. It's great. The stories are amazing. I think the post that's pinned on your Instagram, that's like, I think it's from like July of last year or whatever, maybe it's like, hey, this is our goal, right? And you guys, and you just have all the beautiful shots. So I'd love to hear more about how has that path gone for you? How do you continue to grow? And really, what do you foresee? Do you foresee content creation being what you'll continue to do full time, even as the kids come and different things like that? Or do you think you'll go back into more of the roles in marketing and kind of what you did, got your MBA for? Or is that's your past life and we're past that?
That's a great question. I feel like we're still trying to figure out what like our next step would be, but we do love sharing what we're learning, whether that is like, yeah, marriage or travel or parenting. So that would be great if we could continue at least like a part to do that. Advice I would give is, and this is really helpful actually from the creator Passport, who you previously interviewed, and Lover's Passport. And they go way more into this in their course, but just like think about what value you're providing for other people. And then there's like kind of like four different categories people talk about, which is entertainment, education, relatability. What's the other one? Oh, inspiration. And so like your content might fall into one or all of those pillars, but like think for each like piece of content that you're putting out, like what do I want people to get from this? And that's really helped and is continuing to help as we like think about the future of our content, like helped guide what we hope to put out.
Because for us, it never was set out to become content creators. We just were sharing more so just like our journey more so with our family and stuff. And then a few years ago, afterwards, we were like, maybe we should be more intentional about that. And now we really want to look at like, now that we have been able to travel and gain this experience, what can we share with other people and provide value, like how you are doing such an amazing job through your podcast?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm curious. So through your experiences, right, I'm sure you guys, outside of people bugging you about being on the podcast, right, but I'm sure you get DMs and different things like that. What are you hearing from your followers as far as you know, the inspiration that they're getting? I'd love to hear kind of what are the story, not miss a stories, but I'm sure what you're doing is helping change other people's lives when they see what you do. And can you speak to anything like that? Or have you heard comments or from those that follow you or just your circle of in general?
That's so nice. Thank you. The thing that I would say, maybe you want to talk, go ahead, but the thing that makes me most excited is when people say, like, this encouraged me to travel to, like, this place I would have been, like, too afraid to, or, like, talk to these people and have a different perspective, because I feel like that's something that we're learning, and so that's just naturally, like, what we shared, and it's so awesome that, like, people are impacted by that and able to connect with other people that they might not otherwise have tried.
Yeah, I think it wasn't a goal of ours to, like, we set out to travel for our own experiences. We just wanted to see the world and get a little bit more of culture experiences. But through that, the biggest takeaway that keeps coming back to us is just the kindness of people. And I think often the only way that you hear about certain countries is through the news when something terrible happens. So it's easy in my mind even to think, well, then that country is extremely dangerous and like, I don't have any connection with the people. And traveling to those countries, even if other people aren't able to ever experience it, we would love to be able to be a small glimpse into the amazing beauty of the country and the kindness of the people there. So that's kind of shifted into one of our side goals that we hope people get. And we keep hearing over and over again that people love when we share that aspect.
That's awesome. That's super cool. Would you... Now, in a different way, how do you feel like all this travel that you guys have done has shifted your own perspective?
We always say, be the people on the bus in Romania, which the story behind that is we'd been traveling through Europe, done like trains and buses, but we had just shown up to Romania, got on a bus and paid. But people, the guards came up and said that we hadn't paid and we owed a fine. So we were like a little bit confused and trying to communicate, and people on the bus overheard and started speaking Romanian to them and then yelling back and forth with these guards. And we're like,
we had no idea really what was going on. And next thing we know is money is being handed out by the strangers sitting on the bus. And somebody who spoke a little bit of English translated to us and said, the guard said that you either have to go to the police station or pay a fine. And we want you to remember the people in Romania as the love and kindness. So we decided to pay the fine for you. And that was just such an inspiration to us that we have received over and over and over again kindness. And we want to pour that out and be the people on the bus to other people.
Be the people on the bus in Romania. That's an incredible story. I'm sure we could sit here for hours just unpacking all the stories that you guys have. I mean, there's at least one per country, right? So that's super cool. And absolutely incredible. So let me ask you guys this. What would you, in the spirit of, you know, being the people or remembering the people on the bus in Romania, in the spirit of living with intention, what advice would you give people that do say they want to travel more, that want to get out there, that are scared to, you know, shift away from their job or whatever it may be to be able to get out and see more or feel like they're kind of locked down and they want to write that good story or live a good story, but they just feel like they haven't had the opportunity to yet, or what, for whatever reason it may be, family, finances, whatever it may be, what advice would you give them based on your own experience?
I feel like there's two pieces. Maybe you can talk about like the practical piece of pursuing your dreams, but then the people piece, I feel like I didn't do a good job of this and still don't, but I'm trying more now, is to like see the people around me. And so like, it's just so easy to be like busy and like doing my to-do list that I like am going to the grocery store and like don't pay attention to the people around me. But like, what could it mean if I just like took the time for someone, or was an encouragement or a small like thank you to somebody? And it doesn't mean traveling the world. You can do it in like your own backyard, but that would be my advice on the people part.
Em does a great job of that. One time we were in South Africa and we were in the airport waiting for a flight, and it's like 30 minutes. I hadn't seen Em. And then all of a sudden she's coming out of the bathroom with a stranger. They're hugging each other and crying. And here, long story, Em ended up telling me that she just complimented her on her job of cleaning the restroom. And that led to a conversation, and she shared like her entire story. So Em does an amazing job of seeing the people around. I think I was just planning out our next country or something. But I think from a practical standpoint, as far as if you have a goal and you want to pursue it, I don't want to boil it down so simple, but something, a formula that has been so helpful for us to stay on track in any of our goals that we have set is three steps, which is dream it, plan it, do it. And it's so easy to complicate everything, but I think whenever we just say, okay, what's a stretch? Maybe not, we didn't start out saying we wanted to travel to every country, but we said we wanted to travel more. So the craziest thing we could think of was traveling to the 50 states. So we dreamed it, then we spent 4 years planning it, saving for it, and then eventually it just comes down to, you can dream and plan all you want, but if you don't take that first step of doing it, it's never going to happen. And just repeating that over and over and over again has been what has helped us and reminded us, like, hey, no matter how small, how big it is, whatever obstacles you have, you got to start by dreaming, planning, and then doing it.
Wow. I love that. I love that so much. That is incredible. Okay. So dream it, plan it. Don't spend too long planning it because you still got to plan it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect. Perfect. So question for you guys. So in these stints, so you said you saved for about 4 years before tackling the 50 states. How long was your entire endeavor in the visiting all 50 states and doing the RV life? How long was that whole stint?
So it was supposed to be 1 year. We had it mapped out for 1 year, ended up taking us about 2 years. And the great thing is, because I had over budgeted and then we basically stayed in Walmart parking lots, or we boondocked, which is like dry camping out in like the woods, we were able to spend far less than what I thought.
So yeah, it's been around seven or eight years since we left for the RV trip.
Nice. And did that flow like immediately into the visiting more of the world side, or was there a decent size year, 6 month, 2 year pause before really starting to venture out into visiting all the different countries?
So I feel like this is a really great point too, is that you don't always have to have everything figured out, because after we finished the 50 states, we're kind of like, what do we want to do? And we realized we want to go experience another culture. So it was just supposed to be go spend a few months. We were going to live in Mexico for a while. It was warm, it was cheap, and it's amazing food. So we were sold on that. Yes. We had some money saved up, and that's when we started teaching English in Mexico.
I just think I love how you inspire people through your podcast of like the similar thing of, okay, what is it that you want in life? And then go pursue it. You do an excellent job of inspiring people to do that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just trying to grow up to be like you guys, right? You know, live a great story, plan well, or dream it, plan it, and do it. So that's the game there. So as we start to wrap up here, couple last questions for you. So in these stints where you have been traveling, I know you're back in the States here very, very briefly, but how long do you typically go at a time where you're, you know, visiting country after country? Is this a, you know, 1 month at a time, 6 months at a time, a couple weeks at a time? Does it all completely vary? How do you usually map your time around for these different stays that you have, or as you've been traveling through these 180 countries?
It's pretty rare that we're in the U.S. I would say it's normally about once or sometimes twice a year that we're back here, but otherwise it's full time. And so sometimes we'll take like a few week or month or so break to like take this work and planning time for the next leg. But yeah, we don't have a home base. I would love that someday, but right now we just spend full time.
Again, we were able to capture you here just for the brief time, maybe in between countries. So definitely appreciate your time here for sure. So let me ask you this. So what country is next? What is 181, maybe 182 going to be, if you know them yet, and if you want to share?
Yep. We're really excited for the South Pacific. Actually, one of our favorite experiences, and we would highly recommend it, was in French Polynesia. We swam with humpback whales. And that, I mean,
they're huge.
Yeah. Yeah, you just feel so small. And I just love French Polynesia in general. So we're really excited because we have some more countries in that region, and hopefully we'll get to scuba dive. And
when we're in Tonga, it's a very popular place to swim with humpback. So we are definitely going to try to prioritize to do that again.
So in the episode with Steven, he actually mentioned that specific thing, and he actually mentioned French Polynesia, swimming with humpbacks, because my fiance and I were both divers as well. So we've been in the water. I think the largest thing we've been in the water with both of us would be whale sharks. To be with the humpback whale would be incredible. I believe that's he mentioned that's October time frame, right? You have to kind of go around that time of year.
I forgot about that. Maybe it's a sign.
I mean, this is now. I feel forced. Like this is. I'm thinking this is where the either honeymoon part one or two or something on the honeymoon or is going to be, because we got to figure out where we're going to go. Seeing as the proposal was in the Maldives, we got
to
figure out how
you set the bar pretty high. I would say a close follow up. If you haven't been to French Polynesia, to Bora Bora, Tahiti, that area, that's also a very, very great place.
I don't think you can top that proposal. That was a dream proposal.
Thank you. I think it was actually a real quick fun fact, like on our first date ever, we had talked about like, we'd love to travel. And it was like, it would be cool to like have a honeymoon in like or get married and then have a honeymoon like a castle in New Zealand. So we knew very quickly that we had a good fit. So I think if Tara's listening to this, she's like, no, I think we're definitely doing New Zealand for a honeymoon. So I think it's gonna be like New Zealand, Fiji. Maybe I can get us to Bora.
Okay, that sounds like an actual dream.
That sounds awesome. Awesome, guys. Awesome. So let me ask you this. What's the best way for our listeners to connect with you?
We're Hudson and spelled out A-N-D, Emily on all social media. Instagram is probably our most common.
Awesome. Hudson and Emily on social media, on Instagram. And Hudson, Emily, you guys have told incredible stories today. I know I could go hours and hours and hours just hearing about the different stories, whether it's the greatness, kindness of strangers to the bathing in the cow urine and everything in between. I think you guys have just lived an incredible life so far. You've done exactly what you set out to do, which was to live with intention. I know, the whole purpose of this podcast being called Revolutionizing Your Journey was because we all have different ways of doing travel, and it's really to experience it in a different way. And you guys have really done that. And that's why my Instagram account is called Boldly Go, because it's about being bold and seeing the world. And like, you guys are just living that and in like the coolest ways possible. And so I definitely appreciate your time today. Last couple questions for you. Who should we have on the show next?
Oh, that's a great question. I would recommend the Very Hungry Nomads. They're two women and they've actually done it. They've actually traveled to every country in the world, and they have such amazing stories and are genuinely super kind people. I would definitely recommend that.
Awesome. Awesome. You said the two hungry nomads?
Very Hungry Nomads.
Very Hungry Nomads.
Rach and Marty are their names, but yeah, they're amazing.
Awesome. Well, we are going to try to connect with them as well and get them on a future episode. Hudson, Emily, any final thoughts from either of you guys here before we wrap this one up?
We just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity of having us on, and we love connecting with you. Yeah, love what you're doing.
You're so inspiring to people of just, hey, like, what is the journey that you want, and to go for it. So we're honored to be on today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you. It is my honor to have you guys here. And for the listeners out there, I want you to walk away with a couple of things. One, be like the people on the bus in Romania. Two, dream it, plan it, do it. Three, follow Hudson and Emily because they have incredible stories and they're on an incredible journey, and you will not be disappointed when you do so. Again, Hudson, Emily, thank you so much. And to the listeners out there, as always, if you like our content, please like, rate, subscribe, do all that fun stuff, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.